Okay, so welcome to Inferno Sunday. You see, if when you hear the word inferno, imagine a big fire. Okay, imagine a big fire. Inferno, Inferno Sundays. Just imagine a very big fire. And part one of the Inferno Sunday series, I am talking on the refiner's fire, a blacksmith approach to become weaponized. A blacksmith approach to become weaponized. You know, sometimes when I hear preachers telling you that you became born again so that you can prosper, you became born again so that you can build a house. You know, when I hear people's testimony, it's about how many cars they have, how many houses they have, how many shoes they have. And then I begin to think about how Jesus will feel. How Jesus will feel. So he died that you can buy cars. You think that's what Christianity is about? It's about buying cars. It's about buying houses. Do you know how people even feel that because they don't have a car, God has not blessed them? But Jesus said that a life does not consist of the abundance of things that a man has. Life is not about people, because listen, in advanced countries where they have everything, young people are becoming drug addicts. 14 year olds, 15 years old belong to gangs. They are killing people. People are dying just like that. And look at you. I want to tell you that when you become a Christian, God has a bigger assignment, more than just buying cars or building houses or having $1 million in your bank account. Nowadays, to have $1 million in your house, hey, it's a big thing, oh. So make sure that if you have $1 million, it's in your bank account. Okay? So there's nothing wrong having $1 million. Okay? But that is not what Jesus died for you to get. First and foremost, he died that you can win souls. He made you a Christian so that you can tell other people. Now, I also going to tell you one of the things that God wants you to become in his hands. And this is a very important thing. Okay? So imagine, when I was growing up, there used to be this goldsmith, local goldsmith. And they used to have this. I don't know, I'm trying to look for that thing, a picture of that thing to show you. Because most of you here are millennials. Do you know why the millennials are usually mad young people who don't understand what we understand? Okay, they haven't seen what we have seen. And so they don't think correctly. They think they know, but we know they don't know. Young people think that old people are fools, but old people know that young people are fools. You haven't seen what we have seen, but we are seeing what you are seeing. Do you understand? Okay, so when young people say, oh, in our generation, we are in the generation with you. It's not like the computers you see, we haven't seen. It's not like what you are going through, we have not gone through. Those who didn't see this generation are those that you can say to them that in our generation, but we are in the generation with you. But you were not in my past generation with me. When I saw the refiner's fire, was some, this is the, and then they put gold, and then you can melt gold. I want to show you how God wants to weaponize you. How God wants you to become a weapon in his hands. And why you must become a weapon. And the benefits of becoming a weapon in the hands of God. You need to have this kind of understanding. The last time I was preaching somewhere and I said Christianity is a warfare, and the Lord said, no, Christianity is not a warfare. Life itself is war. Life is war. Whether you are Christian or not, you are engaged consistently in warfare. But when you become a Christian, you have an added advantage, Because God then takes over the warfare and he says the battle is mine. And that's why you must be a Christian. Because God takes over the warfare. But when God takes over your battles, then what do you become? I want to share something with you. I want to first establish that you are God's weapon. Jeremiah 51 verse 20. You are my battle axe and weapons of war. For with you I break the nation in pieces, and with you I destroy kingdoms. Amen. So you are a weapon in the hands of God. You are a weapon in the hands of God. But what kind of weapon are you? Because there are different types of weapons. Do you know that pen knife is even a weapon? Stone is a weapon. Lima, do you know lima? And ass. What is the English name for it? Someone say ekuma. How is ekuma an English name for an ass? Okay. So, and then we have intercontinental ballistic missiles. And then we have weapons of mass destruction. And then we have knockout. Do you know knockout? Yeah, we have all these things. They are all weapons. So what kind of weapon are you in the hands of God? The battle is the Lord, but you are the weapon. Now, the battle God wins in your life are different from the battles God wins in my life. Because we are different types of weapons. We are different types of weapons. We may all be fighting similar battles, but we may be different weapons in the hands of God. That is why my victories are different from your victories. That's why sometimes the things that will defeat you might not defeat me, because of the kind of weapon I am in the hands of God. If you pray once in a while, and somebody prays every day consistently, you are not the same weapons. You are not the same weapons. If an armed robber comes to your house with AK-47 and you have cutlass, who will win? So some of us, we are cutlass Christians fighting witches with AK-47. And God is saying, listen, I can win this battle for you if only you become an effective weapon in my hands. So listen, some of the setbacks in your life, so in your relationship with God, God is never wrong in any way. God is always right. God is always right. Never in your life question God, Father, why me? Why are all these things, after all this prayer, after all this fasting, why me? Why am I still not succeeding? I'm saying that, what kind of weapon are you? Are you lema? Are you ekuma? Are you AK-47 or kafube? Do you know kafube? Oh, you don't know kafube? It uses gunpowder. When you shoot one, you have to shoot again, you have to face it again and shoot. I'm told of a story of a hunter who went and saw a big chimpanzee. And then he shot from kafube, and the chimpanzee was smart. He dodged. A dodging chimpanzee. Some demons are like chimpanzees, they can dodge. And then when you know the chimpanzee has dodged, and the chimpanzee now knows that you wanted to kill me, okay, and I'm coming for you. And then he was now putting gunpowder, and you know, you have to use some things to just make it, you know. Oh, by the time he finished, the chimpanzee had killed the hunter. Some of you, you are kafube in the hands of God. God has to make sure he does not miss. Because if he misses one, you die. You are not even machine gun. That's why you pray once a week? That's why you pray once a week. Because you are kafube. At least machine gun can go for 3 hours of prayer. And when machine gun is praying, it deals with a lot of things. It deals a lot of things. If we're knockout, do you know there are some knockouts, when they put it down, you can step on it and kill it. A lot of knockouts are in church. And witches are stepping on you. Look at this. You are my battle axe and weapons of war. For with you, I will break the nation into pieces. So you are not a match. Or one witch is not a match for you. A whole nation. You can deal with a whole nation. So why are you afraid of that your single uncle or aunt who you think is a witch, is a wizard or a witch? Why are you afraid? What kind of weapon are you in the hands of God? Today, I want to show you how God can build a weapon out of you. How God can make you a great weapon. So picture that we are in a blacksmith shop. And God is the blacksmith. Today, this service is a blacksmith service. We are manufacturing weapons. There's a place in Water Region, is it Adaklu, where they make weapons. There's a place, Charlie. Alavanyon, let me be careful. Archbishop Ajansari went to say, those people, where they go? Novoko or something. And they gave him 14 days. And it is 16 days, he's still dancing. The man is still there, he's dancing. It's been 60 days. He's still alive. Okay, so now let's say that we are manufacturing weapons. Now here, Isaiah 54 verse 16, I want to show you. Good News Translation. I create the blacksmith who builds a fire and forges weapon. He builds a fire and forges weapon. So weapons are built through fire. Weapons are developed through fire. But a lot of things are done through fire. Do you know the healthiest food to eat is the one that is warm, not the one that is cold? So weapons are built through fire. And in this month of fire, may God build you up as a weapon. Now, there are processes that goes through, that you have to go through in order for you to become a weapon. So let's go to the stages of blacksmithing. How to become a weapon in the hands of God. Number one, the stages of blacksmithing. I'm saying with you, 5 stages. How you can become weaponized. How demons will fear you. How you can take over territories. Do you see how men of God can go into communities and buy half of the community? We know how to take territories because we are weapons in the hands of God. Mega weapons in the hands of God. So number one, the searching stage. The blacksmith goes to look for rocks with iron in them. Deuteronomy 8:7-9. The Lord your God is bringing you into a fertile land, a land that has rivers and springs and underground streams gushing out into the valleys and hills, a land that produces wheat and barley, grapes, figs, pomegranates, olives, and honey. There you will never go hungry or ever be in need. May this be your portion. Its rocks have iron in them, and from its hills you can find copper. Can I now tell you something? When the blacksmith wants to make a weapon, he goes out to search for rocks that have irons in them. But the first stage of you becoming for a weapon manufacturing is to find a rock with iron in it. So they go to search. And you know what, right now, God is searching for a rock with iron in it. I love it when Kobe gave the example of Jesus speaking to Peter. And he said, you are Peter. Peter means a rock. You are Peter. On this rock, I will build my church. So Jesus was thinking like the way the blasphemers were thinking. Peter was a rock with iron in it. Are you a rock with iron in you? God sent the judge Samuel to the house of Jesse. He said, in the house of Jesse, there is a man I want to anoint. There is a man I want to anoint to become king. And God found David. David was a rock with iron in it. God is always looking for someone to weaponize. God is always looking for someone to make a weapon out of. God is looking for someone. And that person may be in this service right now. That person may be sitting down here right now. The next Duncan Williams may be sitting down. The next Achinasari may be sitting down here. The next Otabel may be in this service. The next Bishop Dag may be in this service. The next president, godly president that can change this country, may be sitting down here right now. God is looking for someone. I sought for a man. I sought for a man who will stand in the gap. Who will stand in the gap as a blacksmith goes out looking for rocks, with irons in them. So is God here right now. He has come down to this service right now. He's looking for one man. He's looking for one woman who is ready for him. The next Titi Ofe is sitting down here. Oh, yes. The next Titi Ofe is sitting down here. It's amazing how God came looking for me. In the 80s, when we got born again, I got born again in the early 80s. All my friends were coming from Roman Range. At that time, they were the richest places. Roman Range, Jowulo. They would come in their father's cars. I would go to church in Chalote. I was living in Adabraka. I was at Gono, opposite the mosque at Abibishia. If you hear these things, they are not like, oh, East Legon, Roman Rage. No. I didn't grow up like that. And when God was looking for a bishop out of my friends, none of my friends have become a bishop. God just decided that I'm going to Adabraka. There is a rock with an iron in it. There is a rock with an iron in it. Your story can change today. There is a rock with an iron in it. There is a rock with an iron sitting down here right now. If you are the one I'm talking about, your amen will be the loudest. I believe, there's a witness in my spirit that a young man here, a young woman here today will be anointed. You may have come from a kiosk. You may have walked to church today. You may have failed your examination. You may not have a five-star parent. You have never sat in a taxi before. I remember the first time I sat in a taxi. I was so happy. I just looked at the taxi, inside the taxi, I said, I have prospered. But look at where I am today. All you have to become is become a rock with an iron in it. You are an earthen vessel with a treasure. There is something in you that God is looking for. The fact that you are not in the army, but you are the one taking care of the sheep in the wilderness, does not mean that you are not qualified for God to use you. But that you may not wear a suit today. You may not have a nice shoe today. Sister, you don't have that money to buy that hair. Don't let anybody's outward appearance intimidate you. You are a rugged rock. You might not look nice by men's estimation, but in my spirit, I sense that God has placed some value in you. God is looking for you. God is looking for you. You know what I've come to realize? That God does not need already made materials. God goes for raw materials. Well, if God need already made materials, like, I won't be here. God came looking for me. I was a raw material. 14 years old, I became born again. 22 years old, I was a pastor. 24 years, I've gotten married. Hey, but from where I have come from? You see, many people see themselves in valleys and they don't believe they can reach the mountaintop. I was not in a valley. I was in the bottomless pit. A pit without bottom. Listen, don't look up, don't give up on yourself. You know what I want? You see, your mirror tells you a lot of lies. When you stand and look at your mirror, when I was growing up, I didn't love myself. I can look at myself in the mirror and feel I was the most ugliest thing ever created. And in fact, among my siblings, I was the ugliest. See, I look at myself in the mirror, and then I became born again. And then I decided to look at another mirror. And that is the mirror of God's word. God's word told me the truth about who I am. God's word told me the truth about who I am. I didn't have the parents my friends had. But I looked into the scriptures and I realized that God was my father. I looked into the scriptures and I decided to apply everything from the scriptures. Did they look at me? I was a rock, the stone the builders rejected. But God found me and saw that there is iron in this guy. You know, that's the reason why I don't despise anybody. I don't look down on anybody. It's the reason why I don't despise anybody. I don't look down on anybody. When we close church, I walk here and greet all those who came to, especially those who came from the Kios estates, who are wearing chalewati, that some of you will not talk to, who are not dressed like you, who are not perfumed like you. The people you look down on and despise. I said, when mommy met me, I agreed for me to marry her. I was surprised. But she found an iron in a rock. She said, this guy is a rugged rock, but there is iron in him. Iron is a symbol of strength. In the Bible days when this scripture was written, the strongest metal they had discovered at the time was the iron. There is something lying in the inside of you right now. I feel I'm speaking to somebody here. There is something lying in the inside of you right now. Don't allow your environment and what is happening outside to determine who you are. Never be discouraged. Never look down on yourself. Never give up on yourself. Never give up on yourself. Never ever give up on yourself. There is something in you. There is something lying in the inside of you. The Spirit of the Lord is speaking right now. That my son, my daughter, I have found something in you. I have found something in you. I have found a pearl on a field. 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 The stone the builders rejected is becoming the chief cornerstone. The stone the builders rejected is becoming the chief cornerstone. Something somebody rejected is about to become a news. Kabra Shamatoa. Alay Manduli Bihantaya. Oh, Kalabas Shambaya. But there's something you have to do. There's something you have to do. God finding you is not enough. But being able to go through God's process is important. Being able to go through God's process is important. I'm going to do something. Can somebody, can you give me a shoe? Can somebody remove the shoe? Brother, give me your shoe. You. Give me your shoe. Just one. What a shoe. It's, okay, you can sit down. You see this shoe? It's made of leather. This shoe is made of leather. Do you know that this leather is cowhide? Kero, Wole. Do you know that? This shoe can cost like between 250 to 500 Ghana cedis. But am I right? Or it's more? Or if it's more, just say it. Okay. Sorry. But this shoe can cost like 500 Ghana cedis. But when you go to Tesco market, you will find cowhide that is sold for 5 cedis. What is the difference between the cowhide sold for 5 cedis and the one that has become a shoe selling for 500 Ghana cedis? Process. This is a process, Willie. Oh, I'm telling you. Process, Willie. And it is how much? 500. Thank you, brother. Who has a bottle of water? Who has a bottle of water? Anybody with a bottle of water here? Yes. You see this bottle of water? How much is it? 2 cedis, 50 pesos. Wow. How much is a bucket of water? Why you don't buy water? How much bucket of water? You buy water, say it. Like 50 pesos or less. So why this small bottle? 2 cedis, 50 pesos. And the big bucket is 50 pesos. Why is it so? Because this is processed water. Anything that is processed, value is added to it. Are you sure? You understand what I'm sharing with you? Anything that is processed. So sometimes God will take you. And do you know that 90% of the processed things go through fire? This suit I'm wearing right now, it could even be a bottle that was found here in Africa or here in Barcelona and was sold to someone in England, and the person took it through fire and became material, and it was used for suit in somewhere called Savile Row in England. And I went there to buy it with expensive pounds. Almost everything that goes through process to become valuable. Your car went through fire. Everything that goes through, almost everything that goes through process, is usually there's fire involved. The food you are going to eat right now, whether wache, bankun, apeprensan, whatever you are going to eat today, the chances are that it went through fire. That's why it will be tasty. If you took the things, the flour, the condo that is used to make bankun, and you just decide to eat the condo just like that, without it going through fire, the taste will not be the same. Almost everything that goes through fire has a certain level of value that is added to it. Almost every good thing that goes through fire. Do you understand? Do you understand what I'm talking about? And so when the blacksmith goes and gets a rock and sees iron in the rock, the next thing the blacksmith does is that it puts it through fire. Can I see the next slide? It's called the separation process. The next thing the blacksmith does is that the blacksmith now puts the rock in fire. And what is a blacksmith looking for? There is a metal in that rock. But until that rock goes through fire, the metal will not come out. Listen, Malachi 3, 2 to 3. Good news translation. But who will be able to endure the day when he comes? Who will be able to survive when he appears? He will be like a strong soap, like a fire that refines metal. Like a fire that refines metal. He will come to judge like one who refines and purifies silver. As a metal worker, blacksmith, refines gold and silver, so the Lord's messenger will purify the priest so that they will bring to the Lord the right kind of offerings. Look at this. The Bible says, as the blacksmith takes the rocks through fire, so God will take you through it. And you know what happens? When they put the rocks in fire and the heat hits the metal begins to expand, and now the rock begins to break. As the rock breaks, the metal comes out. And at this stage, the rock is seen as something impure, because the essence of the heating is the metal. You want to find the metal. If you go through fire and you don't expand, then there is something wrong with you. This man, God wants to take you through fire. Whatever you are going through, the pain you are going through, the suffering you are going through, are all forms of fire. The more you go through it, the more God expands you. If you are an iron, you will expand. And the rocks will break and you will emerge. I see the emergence of someone in this month. In the name of Jesus. I see the emergence of a woman this month. I see the emergence of a man this month. Do you know how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were separated from the rest of the Jews in captivity? They went through fire. Nebuchadnezzar put them through fire, and they came out stronger and better. That fire will not kill you. That condition will not kill you. That problem will not kill you. Sister, you may be selling ice water by the roadside. It's only fire. You are just going through fire. Don't be envious of that sister who works in the bank and sits in an air condition. They don't have fire. That sister is not a metal. You are a metal. That's why you are going through fire. Are you here with me? You are a metal. That's why you are going through fire. You are metal. Can I tell you something about me? I've shared this here before. You know, I went to secondary school very old. I was in Form 1 at 16. At that 16, my daughter was going to university. At that 16, Kevin, Pastor Titi Ofe, was going to university. Or 18. I was now sat in secondary school, Form 1. And people couldn't call me Gideon. They used to call me Brother Gideon. Because if you see me, you see that I'm brother. Because I went through the middle school, the old system, and the rich people's children went through private schools. And they wrote the common entrance at class 6. And I have to write the common entrance, for you to understand, at class 10. So they had 4 years advantage. So my classmates were 12 years old. So me, when you ask me about my classmates, I don't know them, because in Form 1, I was mentoring them. They were all my small boys. I was their SU leader. My seniors were my friends. And then I was asked to repeat. I was among the best science students. I couldn't write. I wrote only my midterm exams, not my final exams. So I was asked to repeat. By the time I was in Form 4, I was a preacher. I used to go to school in trousers, and then when I get there, I was in acquaintance. When I get to the prisons area, I would remove the trousers and then get the shorts. Sixth formers were calling me Brother Gideon, and you were asking me to repeat. I did not write examination, so I should repeat. And when I went to school, my name was on the notice board in red. Failed. And our names have been underlined, the last three people. I was supposed to repeat Form 4. I was already, I was supposed to be in the university. How can I repeat at Form 4? So I left school. I left secondary school at Form 4. But I wanted to be an engineer, aeronautical engineer. But I was a rock. And God said that this boy is a rock. I have to take him through fire for metal to come out of him. So I left school and wrote my O-levels as a private candidate. As a private candidate, I couldn't attend private classes. So I had to choose subjects. That was easy. So I wrote subjects like commerce. No, I stopped the science. Wrote commerce. Wrote some subjects. Subjects. I didn't do chi. I should have chosen chi. I didn't even know whether I was a business student or art. I just missed them. I just missed the subjects. Come again. Yeah. I just missed every subject and registered direct with WAEC. Yeah, so I was a Bihar student, registered with WAEC. But today, studied in some of the top universities in the world. Today, I own a university. Today, I'm here speaking to you. Today, top politicians around the world are my friends. Why? I went through the fire and I've become a weapon. You failed and so what? Your marriage collapsed and so what? It's part of the process going through the fire. You lost your job and so what? Go through the fire. Stay through the fire. God is separating the metals from the rocks. God is purifying you. God is purifying you. If you cannot survive the fire, I said anything good survives the fire and becomes better. If you take cassava and you take plantain and you put them on fire and you carry them and put them in pistol and you start pounding them, it becomes fufu. Better. But unless you are a bad person already, every bad thing, when it gets through fire, it becomes worse. Every good thing, when it goes through fire, it becomes better. When you cook bad cassava, it's poisonous. The heat does not take the poison out. So if you are angry that God is taking you through fire, then you were not a good Christian in the first place. Are you here? If you are disappointed that you are going through fire, if the fire is burning you and it's not refining you, if the fire is not refining you, but it is burning you into ashes, then you have not been a quality iron. You were a wood in a rock. You were a wood in a rock. You were a wood in a rock. You were some stone in a rock. You were some plastic in a rock. Some plastic in a rock. So the fire will destroy you. I left secondary school, wrote my examination privately. Look at me. I came here 20 something years ago with money. We went through fire. We went through fire. On computer building, no water, no electricity, no toilet facilities. We went through fire. So if you are here, you came from a kiosk. And when it rains, it takes your kiosk and things away. You have a classmate here. I was like you. But I was an iron. I was not a wood. My prayer life was solid. My fasting life was solid. My Bible study life was solid. My heart was good towards God. So whatever I went through, I became better. Rwanda went through civil war. Liberia went through civil war. Compare the two countries. One is still begging. that because we went through civil war, that's why we are begging, help us. The other is saying that never again will we go through civil war. Let's build our lives. Let's make ourselves better. Let's be strong. And they have become better. I'm saying that if the fire is destroying you, if whatever is you are going through is affecting your prayer life, it's affecting your Bible study life, if whatever you are going through is destroying you, then you were not good. You were not good. I remember when I was in Form 1, secondary school Form 1, I went to school. I was supposed to get a textbook, and I didn't have. I was beaten mercilessly. It was a Friday. They beat me. It was a math textbook. They beat me. So after beating me, I begged one rich guy. Every textbook, he has different types. So I collected one and bought exercise book. And from Friday to Sunday night, I have copied everything from the exercise book into a notebook with all the drawings and exercises and examples. When my maths teacher came to the class the next Monday and said, "Titi Ofe, where is your textbook?" And I showed him the exercise book. I said, "Sir, I've copied everything inside this. I have copied everything inside it." The man looked at it and gave it back to me. Just gave it back to me. But I topped the math examination. I've been telling mommy that I have never met any woman who is as strong as my mother. The things we have been through, for that woman to be 84 years. On only a few occasions, I've seen my mother cry. The rest, difficult situations, she will survive. I'm saying that God will always take us through processes. And the description for that process is called fire. And you must get better when you go through fire. You cannot say that, I don't have money, so I won't come to church. You can't do that. It's not part of the equation. God did not sign that contract with you. Say, if you want to follow me, carry your cross and follow me. Jesus did not lie to us. He did not promise us a comfortable life. He promised us a wild and a very difficult life. He told us that even if you look at a woman lustfully, you have committed adultery. So he's saying that if you're a young person, you cannot commit fornication. It's not part. You cannot commit adultery. It's not part. He preached a very, very, very truthful sermon that I'm preaching to you. And like the way all of you are quiet, I'm preaching to you. I'm just telling you. Anytime Jesus spoke, people didn't talk. He was telling them the truth. I'm telling you the truth. Yeah, I know that my time is up, but I'm putting you through fire. I'm putting you through fire. I'm putting you through fire. Okay. So the separation must happen. It's called the finance. God must take you through it. You understand what I'm sharing? This is gospel. I'm telling you the truth. You have to go through the fire. Every fire will make you better. There is no fire that will burn you to death. It will make you fire. It will make you better. In the fires, I will be with you. In the waters, I will be with you. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were put through the fire. Three men. When Nebuchadnezzar looked again, he said, didn't we put three men? Why are they four? God will never abandon you. God will never leave you. If you are here, you were not born by nobles. You are here. You were not born by any rich family. You are here. You are going through a lot of struggles. I just want you to know that it is part of your success story. Where you are today is only a chapter in a book of your story. Better chapters are coming. There are people who feel that if they don't have a car, God has not blessed them. But the walking is part of the process. The walking is part of the process. I remember as a young pastor, I walked from Achimota to Circle for church. The previous night, I had not eaten, I had no money, I had not eaten. 20-something-year-old pastor, I had not eaten, no money. You know that hunger that makes you shake? After the service, everything, I was shaking. And people were sitting down to meet me. A lot of people wanted to see me. Parents, I was a youth pastor. So parents whose children were stubborn and all those things, they wanted to talk to me about so I can come to their house and visit them and talk to their children. While they were waiting for me, they were eating yogurt. At that time, yogurt was a delicacy. I just come. They were eating yogurt. I was very hungry. None of them was sensitive enough. I had no money to take car back home. Nobody was sensitive. They come and see this, and then they cry. And I pray with them. Then they cry, and then I encourage them. And I was shaking in my seat. When we closed from church, I had to walk back. And I was holding walls. How I got back to Achimota, I didn't know. So this woman, whose house I was living with, and the children, the husband was in prison. Came back home. They were also very poor. Came back home. So, Pastor, some gari. I've done some gari for the children. Hey. I didn't even say praise the Lord. I didn't even say hallelujah. I just went straight. The way I took the gari from the woman, she realized that this man is going through fire. But I survived the fire. I came out strong. I came out better. And I'm telling you, you are coming out stronger and better. You are coming out stronger and better. You are coming out well. Number three, nothing in your life is by chance. Everything is planned. Everything is programmed. Everything is planned by God, and everything is programmed by Him. Three, the scorching. You see, after the iron has been separated, now the blacksmith even makes the fire more intense. More intense. More intense. You know, in geography, they say the higher you go, what happens? The cooler it becomes. But in spiritual things, the higher you go, the hotter it gets. You can't get cooler at the top level. You have to get hotter at the top level. The more God is blessing you, the more your enemies, the more temptations, the more struggles. Many are the troubles of the righteous. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. When God gives you peace, it's not the absence of trouble. It's the absence of confidence in the midst of troubles. And you will go through it. All of us, everybody. God will never circumvent the journey for you. You won't cut it short. You must go through the wilderness. You must see fire. It's a process. And you must survive it. Are you here? Let's read this scripture again. Isaiah 54 verse 16. I create the blasphemer who builds a fire and forges weapons. My other, you understand. Then who do you understand? Adalora, you understand. Eja, you understand what I'm teaching. Brother, you understand. Ada, you understand. There's nothing anybody goes through that God doesn't have a plan for. Even if the devil did it, God still has a plan for. So don't waste your time binding all the demons. Let them do whatever they want to do. You will survive. Okay, the next one, number four. Let me conclude and then pray for you, and then you go. We are going to pray, Pastor. The two of you will lead us, calling on fire upon ourselves. Now, the shaping. After you have gone through the fire, the blacksmith will now take the hammer. After the metal, now the metal is melted. See, now at the previous stage to this stage. Now you have gone through fire, and now you have melted. This is where sometimes you feel like, hey, everything is changing in my life. All the thing I planned, I wanted to do, I have not become it. Everything. Now God takes over. Many are the plans in the heart of a man, but the purpose of God shall prevail. Now God is saying that you are too rugged. You are too. You are. Then God now takes you through the fire and now begins to reshape you. Look, Isaiah 44 verse 12, Good News Translation. The metal worker takes a piece of metal and works with it over a fire. Now, his strong arm swings the hammer to pound the metal into shape. As he works, he gets angry, thirsty, and tired. Can you imagine? The energy hitting you is so hard that the metal worker gets angry, thirsty, and tired. Brother, I know there are up and downs. God is hammering you. The purpose of that hammering is to give you shape. Is to give you shape. The purpose of that hammering is to give you shape. I was talking to one of my daughters who used to be with us in the wooden stretcher. Akofa, she's in the service, came from the UK to visit. And when she came and saw what the Lord had done with me, places I've spoken with people and people's opinion about the things I'm doing, she was surprised that I could still relate with her at the same level as if we were still in the wooden structure when I was living in an uncompleted building. She said, I'm surprised, though, because who you have become and how you have not changed. I told her something. I said, when you survive the process, the outcome is humility. I'm telling you, when you survive the process, the outcome is humility. Any Christian who is not humble like the Lord Jesus has not gone through the process, or he ran away from the process. But he ran away from the process. You cannot go through the process and not be humbled. Because when you are hammered and reshaped, when you come out of the hammering, you realize that everything you have become is by the grace of God. Then finally, number five, the solidifying. I want to give me some few minutes to anoint you. There you go. Bring me oil here right now. The blacksmith makes the iron strong in oil. You know what? That's what the blacksmith does. The blacksmith, when he finishes everything, now he has to make the metal strong. So do you know what happens? They put the metal in oil to make it strong. The anointing solidifies you. The only way you can survive the process is the anointing. 2 Samuel 1 verse 21. Oh, mountains of Gibeah, let there be no dew or rain upon you, no fruitful fields producing of offerings of grain, for there the shield of the mighty heroes was defiled. The shield of Saul no longer be anointed with oil. So this was David writing a lament when Saul died. And in his lament, he comes out with the truth. He said, the shield of Saul no longer anointed with oil. Because during those days, your metal, your weapons, you anoint it with oil. It makes it strong. It makes it strong. So you keep it in oil. That's why you have engine oil. When you continue to change your engine oil, it makes the metal stronger and powerful and last longer. Metals need oil to last long and to become strong. If we're metal, you need oil. If we're metal, you need oil. Rise on your feet and begin to pray. Talk to him. Pastor Titi of lift up a song for us. Talk to him. Say, Lord, help me to survive, and I need the oil. I need the oil. I need the oil.